Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. So welcome, friends, to this week's podcast. This is our third podcast for 2019, and if you are a faithful follower of this new venture that we're in, we are so grateful that you would follow along. We would ask that you would do two things. Number one, if you would give us your feedback on how these are helpful or how we can improve, you can email me at dabennett@saokc.org. or by emailing Pastor Stephanie Greenwald, Greenwald, at saokc.org. And so emailing us is the first way. And then the second thing you can do is just share with friends that you are finding these podcasts helpful and inviting them to follow along too. For the start of 2019, we have been focusing on a discipleship pathway that we're introducing here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. And we have described what a discipleship pathway is in a previous podcast. Last week's topic was how our method of disciples is, or making disciples, is to know, grow, and go. In both of these podcasts, we discuss some of the key elements that help us to grow as people of faith. And today we want to examine in more detail about how reading the Bible is a key part of knowing, growing, and going. Along with me today is our multi-talented Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. Stephanie, how are you doing today? Is your 2019 getting off to a grand start?
Oh, yes. It's been wonderful, actually. Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here, and 2019 is going to be a good year.
It's going to be good indeed. So let's just kind of dive right in. No person seeking to grow as a disciple of Jesus would argue against the need to know the Bible better. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm certainly in that category.
Yes,
I'm
me
guessing,
too.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
But nevertheless, many people seem to have trouble making time for it. Mm-hmm. Today, we seek to help with steps toward Bible reading that leads to Bible knowledge and hopefully then transfers into biblical living. And I think that perhaps listeners would like to know what your habit of Bible reading is, because imitation can be a great way to start.
Yeah, that is so true. Well, and first, too, I think it's important to just identify, why is it important to read the Bible? Because I think as Christians, we know that that's the case, because everybody tells us we're supposed to read the Bible and know the Bible. But, you know, the interesting thing about the way God has chosen to reveal himself throughout history is that he chose to reveal himself through the written word and through inspiring people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm so thankful that we have these written accounts all the way back from to the beginning of time.
Yes.
Of who God is and why he chooses to act the way that he does. And sometimes it will make sense to us. We will understand, oh, that's why he chose to act that way. And other times it's really not going to make sense, and we have to sort of accept that. But my method of reading the Bible is something that I have attempted to stick with for a very long time. When I was in third grade, I received my third grade Bible, just like we do here. Yes, at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, we give away third grade Bibles as well. But when I was at Leawood United Methodist Church, where my dad was the pastor, we got our third grade Bibles. And me being the youngest of three in our family, I already knew the drill. I knew that when you that when you got your third grade Bible, then you were to start reading a chapter a night. Okay, so dad always told us, he said, just start with the Gospels. You know, don't start at Genesis, start with the Gospels, because then you get to read all about Jesus, and you get to read the red letters, which we like. And so I started reading the Gospel of Matthew, and I hated it. Absolutely hated every minute of reading the Bible. I would read it at night before I would go to bed, and I didn't understand any of it. It didn't make sense to me, and I got really frustrated. And so I tried to stick with it for maybe a year, and then I just stopped, but I never told my parents that I stopped. And then about a year later, I remember going into my parents' bedroom. My mom was sitting on the bed. I don't remember what she was doing, watching TV or something. And I said, Mom, there's just something not right. I just don't feel right. And I couldn't put a a reason behind it. I didn't know why. And immediately, without asking any questions, my mom looks at me and she says, well, are you still reading your Bible? And I remember thinking, oh.
Busted.
Like, how do they know that? And so I said no. And she said, well, you need to start reading your Bible. Read a chapter a night. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about that was the Holy Spirit had spoken to her, and she knew, and God knew that that's what I needed, because we really can't expect to get to know God unless we read the Bible. And so I started reading again, and the beauty of that was that's, for me, when the scriptures really came alive. And I think when we encounter the Holy Spirit through the written word, it's amazing how those words can really start to come alive in us. And not just the Gospels, but every part of the Holy Scripture really has a life to it. It has life breathed into it by God himself. And so I started reading a chapter a night. And I really stuck with that, read through the New Testament. Then as I got a little older, I read through the Old Testament. Now that's tricky.
Yes, it is.
That is not for the faint of heart. And I just actually went through the Disciple Bible study, which I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with, went through the training to become a teacher on that. And that's when I really read through the entire Bible. And that's a hard thing to do.
Yes, it is.
It's a hard thing to do, and it's helpful to do it alongside other people who are able to add to your experience. But also, the Disciple Bible study is helpful because it gives deeper insight into a lot of the things we don't understand about the culture of the Old Testament. So I continue to read a chapter a day. Now, I wish I could say that I do it every single day and that I never fail, but I do. I don't read it every single day. I try. And even today, as I was preparing for the podcast and looking at the questions, I thought, oops, hadn't read it yet today. So I put it aside and read my chapter for the day. So that, I think, is a good rule of thumb. And let me tell you why I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Please, tell us why.
I think that reading a chapter a day is really good because, and I think we're going to talk about goals here in a minute, but for me, reading the Bible is never something I'm going to get done with. Like, it's never something I'm going to accomplish and then be done with. And so as I just continue to read it over and over and over again, I don't know how many times I have read the New Testament. I have no clue how many times. It's been hundreds of times. But I always get something new out of it. God always speaks in a new way because we never on earth are going to arrive in our relationship with God or knowing everything that there is to know about him. And so that's why I feel like reading a chapter a day keeps us in the word every single day, and it continues to put it in our hearts. That's why.
So with that goal of reading it a chapter a day, do you do that at night? Do you do that in the morning? If it were me, I might be too busy in the morning, and then at night I'd be crawling out of bed going, oh, I got to read my chapter for right. the day. I mean, is that right. something you're dealing with?
Yeah, you know, when I was living at home with my parents, I read it at night before I went to bed because that was just my routine. I do it after I brushed my teeth. Now that I am a wife and a mom, bedtime and nighttime is always different. And so morning time is a little more consistent. And so I will do it usually before I get out of bed in the morning because I have my Bible right beside on my nightstand. So it's just right there, and I don't even have to get out of bed to do it. So.
Yeah, for me, the discipline I've had to do is I can get real, you know, get into the office and get work done. And mm-hmm. so I actually made a rule for myself to follow several years ago, mm-hmm. and that was I will not turn on my computer at work until I have spent some time reading the Bible. And
that's
just helpful for me. So mm-hmm. let me reflect a few things I hear you say.
Sure.
Is number one, when you started, you had a plan,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's so critical. And your plan was simply to read one chapter mm-hmm. a day, starting in the New Testament, mm-hmm. which, again, makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you're new at this whole discipleship thing, the New Testament is much easier to read than the Old Testament. It's also shorter, and so you start with a win
mm-hmm.
when you finish that. But also, I thought it was important that you said it really changed for you as a mm-hmm. child when you began to pray before you read the scriptures. And so you had a plan, you had a a discipline, and those are things that I think, you know, are helpful to us, because most of us really do think we start in Genesis, we read through Revelation, and
we
the kingdom
will come.
We get to
somewhere in Exodus and we stop reading.
Yeah, usually Leviticus and Numbers are not the most stimulating reading, but if you muscle through those, you come up to Chronicles. So I think a lot of people out there really have great intentions. Again, I don't think any serious disciple would ever say, oh, I have the Bible, I know it better than anybody.
Right.
And so they have great intentions, only to end up somewhere frustrated, distracted, and they never do reach that goal. And I'm not just talking about reading the Bible from cover to cover, but that ongoing discipline that you talked about of always reading the Bible. So in your experience, again, imitation could be a great way to learn. Did you ever come up with some really good excuses for not reading the Bible?
Oh, yes, definitely. It is not hard to find excuses to not read the Bible. Number one is time. You know, as I got married and then had kids, that was when it became really hard for me. Because when you're, you know, when you're either single or, I mean, maybe those who are listening have kids who are out of the house, and maybe you're retired. You know, when you're not having to do your checklist quite as much, it's a little bit easier to stay in a routine. But there's always reasons that we wouldn't read the Bible. I think another reason that people face that's a tricky one is that they just get frustrated because they don't understand it. I mean, whether you're a third grader, like I was when that happened, or you're, you know, 95 years old, there's going to be things that we don't understand about the Bible. And I think this discipline of reading a chapter a day is really good. But we have to add to that by either looking at commentaries or, you know, we need to make sure we're in church as often as we can be, because the proclamation of the word is going to bring new insight to what you're already reading. I mean, that's what I love about the way that you preach, DA, is that you always bring new insight into the written word. And so it adds to what God's already doing in our lives as we're studying the scripture. So it's not just reading a chapter a day. It's also allowing God to teach you more about what he's saying.
I think part of what happens, and thank you for that compliment, by the way. I was actually thinking the same thing the last sermon you preached, just how much depth you brought out of that. And I think what that creates in people is when we're starting to read the Bible and maybe we have our discipline established, is now there becomes a hunger to really know the Bible better. And so let's approach this on two levels. If you were to encourage somebody to read the Bible more, to meditate on scripture differently, let's start with asking a question. What words of encouragement would you give for a newbie, either a new believer or somebody who's really new at trying to read through that? And then I want to hear your comments on for someone who maybe has done that but is ready to take the next step. What are some words of encouragement you might offer?
Sure. So for somebody who's just starting out, I would say don't ever give up, because this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. That's one thing that my husband always says. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And this is something that you have to do over time for it to take effect. I believe very much so that that God does things within us over time, and that he that anything that is lasting takes time. So if you want to grow and you want to change, you can't look for a quick fix in that, because God is interested in us in the long term. And so if you are new to reading scripture and you come up against things that you're frustrated about because you just don't quite understand it, then don't give up. Just keep doing it and ask questions. There are no stupid questions when it comes to our faith or to growing in our faith. So make sure you ask, and remember that it takes effect over time.
And so for somebody saying, I want to go deeper, what words of encouragement would you offer for someone who says, hey, I've read through the Bible, yeah, I know there's some confusing parts, but wow, there's some really exciting parts. What encouragement would you give there?
I would just continue along with the reading. Don't think that just because you've read through it a certain number of times that you're done. Keep doing it, because God always has something new to reveal about himself. The other thing that I would suggest is, and this has to be something between you and God, you need to pray about this, but if you have gotten to a point in your faith journey where you really do have a decent understanding of Scripture, I would suggest teaching it. Because you really learn a lot when you teach, and it really takes root in your heart. And that, whether that's if you're teaching kids, youth, adults, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would encourage you, find ways to put what you have learned into practice and to help others learn that as well. And the other thing that I would say is, and I know we're going to talk about prayer here in our next podcast, but prayer is a huge part of reading the Scripture. If you're not allowing your prayer life to coincide and go hand in hand with your Scripture reading, you're really missing out on a lot of growth that could take place. And so I would just say, as you are reading, make sure that your spirit is open to what God is saying and ask Him to reveal new things to you, because it's amazing what He'll do. What do you think about
that? Well, thanks for asking, because I'm sitting here thinking, if I had read through the Bible once, and one of the things that can happen around Christian people and in the church is we do tend to speak the language of Scripture sometimes. When I was growing up, I remember when people would pray, they would pray like the King James Version of the Bible, you know, using these and thous and thou knowest us, and, you know, the things that were the King's English.
Right.
And yet even then it's like, ah, wow, this is a hard translation to understand. Yes. And that's why they're, you know, the Revised Standard Version was a popular version when I was a child. That was my third grade Bible, was a Revised Standard Version. But frequently those versions still are not always helpful to people. So one of the things that I always try to do is when I've read it in one translation, I try to look for another translation, because sometimes hearing the same message but a different translation is helpful. And there are sometimes I've actually read translations and I've said, I don't like this translation. But to read it in different translations, I find is helpful, whether you're new at this or whether you're more advanced.
So true.
Another thing that I think is helpful is you mentioned disciple Bible study earlier, and I think your encouragement that if you want to go better, teach it. Because if we teach, we tend to live in that place that we don't want to mess up, and so we overlearn, and that really helps us to learn, even when we're teaching, to be able to say, you know, I don't understand that either, but it's a great thing. But we do that in community. If reading the Bible is just me and God, really limits my understanding of it, and that's why having Bible teachers or pastors that teach can be very helpful to a person's development along the way. So I'm just kind of curious. You did say that you have read through the New Testament hundreds of times. Are you still doing the chapter a day, or do you read more than that? Or,
you know, yes, I still do a chapter a day. That's my goal. If I go a couple days without doing it for some reason or another, then I'll bulk up on it. I'll read, you know, several chapters to try to catch up. But yes, I still read through the New Testament over and over again. The Old Testament, I find it very helpful if I can find some really good commentaries on it, because the culture of the Old Testament, well, the New Testament as well, but really the Old Testament is very different from our own. And so a lot of the things that we hear about God doing, it really doesn't make sense to us in the context of our own culture. And in fact, we can become, we can become misinformed because we will assume things about God that really aren't true.
Really aren't true, right.
Yeah, because of how our culture does things versus how the culture then did things. And so if you're reading through the Old Testament, which I would definitely encourage people to do, because God definitely reveals his nature to us in that, I would say find some really good commentaries on that and or Bible studies, and do that alongside it, because it really will help you to understand more about who God is. I also wanted to just go back for a second and comment on your idea about translations, because I think that's a huge help for people. If you grew up reading the King James Version and you think that that's all there is, there's
it can be very frustrating.
It can be really frustrating. And so I grew up reading the New International Version, and having read it so much, I found that I would just sort of skim over things because I'd read it so often that I almost knew it verbatim.
Right.
And then when I switched to reading the New Living Translation, which is a little more current language, it again opened up a whole new world for
right.
me. So I just think that's a really good word that you had about that. I would really encourage people to do that for sure.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing this. Just a few thoughts we have today for how people can get started, whether it's reading a chapter a day or having a goal mm-hmm. of reading through in a year, which there are Bible plans a person can find online for that.
Yeah.
I think we realize we've only scratched the surface of this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for those of you that are listening, if you have feedback that you're willing to share with us, then please do not hesitate to contact us. We really want to use these podcasts as ways to help all of us on this journey of faith, on our discipleship pathway. Again, this is D.A. Bennett alongside Stephanie Greenwald, and we pray God's richest blessings for you today.